Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Thanks for tuning in to Shell's 3 Cents. My name is Michelle Murray, and I am your host. So in today's news, before we get started, in California, there's a mandate to ban all gas-powered cars. So demands for strategies to ensure the state's proposed mandate to ban all of these gas-powered cars by 2035 have been growing over the last year. The asks include having a strong equity measure so that low-income residents face fewer barriers to buying these $60,000 and $70,000 electric cars. And right now is your chance to have your voice heard. The California Air Board is asking for feedback regarding practicality and feasibility. So head on over to their website and let your voice be heard on this matter, okay? Let your voices be heard. This is important. It's totally going to change the landscape and even your economy. I'm kind of interested to see how that plays out because I always wonder how that's going to impact tourism from people who either can't afford, you know, or choose not to own an electric car once that happens in the state of California. But anyway, have your voices heard. I also find this interesting because if you read the Wall Street Journal, there was an article recently that talks about how at highway speeds, electric cars can only travel for about 150 miles before you have to charge them for 24 hours. So that makes cross-country trips nearly impossible at this time. But check out the Wall Street Journal, too, and read that article. It's pretty interesting. The other thing that's in the news this week that, you know, I want to remind everybody, inflation has soared to a 40-year high, okay? It has soared. It's now firmly rooted in the necessities basic to life, like food and shelter, you know, just the things we need to exist, right? And frankly, there's little hope of lowering it. You know, the feds tell us that without throwing millions of people out of work, we're not going to lower it. So I keep saying it, but it really is time to get your financial life in order, folks. Okay, so for the most part, inflation is being caused by shortages of supply, not excess of demand, okay? But the only way that central banks worldwide can bring supply and demand back into balance is to basically destroy demand by any means necessary. So what does this mean for you, you're asking? Well, it means living life below your means, okay? Living life to a lower standard, because when everything implodes and the experts tell us that it is about to happen, you'll still be okay. You'll still have a little cushion, okay? But if you don't do this, if we don't do this collectively, it's going to happen anyway in the form of millions of people out of work. So don't bury your heads in the sand on this, folks. There's a ton of information on the state of our economy out there. So be informed, okay? Make a plan for your family if you haven't already done so. And again, lots of articles out there. Go read them and get spun up on it. But on a lighter note, today I am super excited to present to you a few of the authors affiliated with KMP Entertainment. They have released some new stories just in time for your summer reading pleasure. And literally, there is a book for everyone, the kids, the parents, the grandparents, the loner, the social butterfly, you name it, and we have a story for you. So today we have with us several authors, one of them a children's book author, Ms. Sarah Grace. We also have Melanie Seifer, who has written a romance novel, as well as William Brower, who has written a great fantasy that you're going to really enjoy hearing about. It may even surprise you if you don't think fantasy is your genre. Really interesting story. So good morning, everyone. Thanks for joining.
Well, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning. Yeah. Hi, I'm so excited to have y'all here. You guys have such amazing stories. I'm just excited to share them with the world. I really am. So first, I want to introduce Sarah Grace. And I won't steal your thunder. I'll let you kind of tell the listeners a little bit about yourself, and then we'll get into your story.
Great. Thank you so much, Michelle. So as she said, mm-hmm. I am Sarah Grace. I am 38 years old and live in a suburb of Chicago. I have three little kids, but I've been interested in writing and exploring writing all my life. So when I got connected with KMP, I thought it was a great opportunity to be able to share the story that I've written that we'll be talking about today and really expand on some of that creative writing talent. And I just really hope to inspire some imagination and some exploration in children who read my book.
You will. I'm sure you will. Miss Melanie Seifer, tell us a little bit about yourself before we get into your story.
Hi, everybody. Thank you so much, first of all, for having me on the show. My name is Melanie Seifert. I am a Californian. I have been writing forever, it seems, since I was 10 years old, as a way of basically getting my feelings and emotions out. Have been writing now all sorts of stories, short stories, plays, you name it. I was so blessed to stumble across a KMP Entertainment, went on scholarship into the Master Writing Academy, which was phenomenal. It was just everything aligned. It was like the stars aligned when I joined the Academy on scholarship and have been nonstop writing since then. Released recently my book, The Patio, which we will be discussing today. Have written a few screenplays, and I'm just really very, very excited to be here. Thank you.
Yeah, I'm excited for all of you to be here. Such great storytellers, such great storytellers. Thanks for that. And William, let's tell the audience a little bit about you.
Well, I'm a author and Titanic historian in the South Florida area, more predominantly in the Fort Lauderdale area. And I've pretty much kind of stumbled upon writing more as an opportunist in one sense. My sixth grade middle school was offering a Halloween short story contest, and the grand prize was free pizza dinner and movie tickets. And I ended up winning the grand prize and was dubbed Young Stephen King. And that's when I realized that I could make an impact with writing. And so needless to say, I've just been developing and enhancing my craft ever since.
Okay. And it's true. We can definitely make an impact on the world through writing. So, like, I love that statement. It's so true. Hey, so you said you're a Titanic historian, but I know your book is more of a fantasy, so it's kind of a long way off. What's your book about, the one we're going to discuss today? What's that one about?
Well, the Legend of Graham How to Claire is actually about a very, very self-conscientious hero who is actually on the verge of being suicidal and suffering with his own form of PTSD, but he actually has to stop a sociopathic villain intent on genocide, all of this taking place on the eve of a major civil war within the world.
Oh, wow, that sounds intense. That sounds pretty intense, pretty intense.
Oh, it can be at times, yes.
Yeah, that sounds super intense. What about, now, Sarah, I know yours is a little more lighthearted. What's your book about?
Yes, mine is kind of the exact opposite of William's. Mine targets children. And my story is about two young brothers who beat the heat on a lazy summer day simply by using their imaginations to travel to different lands by transporting through a magic sprinkler right in their own backyard. So it targets younger children. It really tries to focus on that whole imagination concept. It's called The Adventures of Nikki and Charlie Through the Sprinkler. And it's hopefully the first in a series of these different adventures that these two little boys go on. And they're all kind of based in their imagination.
I absolutely love that, encouraging the kids to use their imagination. You know, in the digital age, so to speak, so many kids no longer have to use their imagination. You know, if they want to create something or dream something, some AI is doing it, right? Or some computer program is doing it, some entity outside of themselves. So I love the fact that your book is encouraging the little ones to use their own imagination. I think that's something kids desperately need.
Thank you.
Right now,
thank you. I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, just trying to get them out from behind a screen and, you know, behind a book, or, you know, encouraging them to go play outside. I'm hoping that my book does that as well.
Exactly. Especially, oh my goodness, that play outside. I see so many babies, and I mean babies, even as little as like 1 and 2 with the screen, and they just, you know, and they're content because that's all they know. They haven't experienced the joy of being outside and, you know, getting dirty and getting wet and just, you know, just exploring their own imagination. So I really love that. I love that.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's great. And Miss Melanie, what is your novel about?
My book, The Patio, is about Andrea Pierce, a young woman who is challenged to stay focused on pursuing her career and is heading out, but her head's out of the cloud when the love that she never saw coming shows up and puts her in all the places that she has avoided her entire life. It's really a story about a young love, you know, just a woman who is coming into love for the very first time. Actually, she's like a late bloomer, if you will. She's been pretty much immersed in her career and life as a scientist, as, you know, someone who is completely in love with discovering, you know, herself, her career, herself, her, but not necessarily has she had any opportunity to experience love, but she's gorgeous. She's gorgeous, you would think. Everybody wants this woman, but there's, you know, there's that insecurity that hopefully people will kind of resonate with. You know, I think people think that because a person is beautiful, they're confident and they just know, you know, they walk into a room and they just know that everything is going to be served to them. That's not always the case. And this is definitely what it is for Andrea in the story.
And, you know,
so, and it's just the first installment.
Oh, okay. So there's a second installment waiting.
Yes. There's a new book on the way.
Oh, that's great. And I do think people will resonate with your character, as you said, you know, especially in the world of, you know, career women and two-income families, you know, love is coming later in life. And some people, you know, just because, you know, they have a lot of question marks, so they don't know, will I ever find, you know, that other special person? Is it coming? So I think a lot of people will see themselves and resonate with your character, definitely. And that, you know, and the world around your character, the things that your character goes through, the internal chatter that your protagonist has. Men. I mean, not just ladies, guys. I think men as well will resonate.
Yeah, not just ladies, men.
Definitely the men will too. Mm-hmm.
Because like I said, I think a lot of us think that beautiful people have the world laid out for them, and in most cases that can be really what is that person feeling. Sometimes it almost is more of a barrier for the person because they think that everybody only sees the outside, but what about me? Like, are you seeing me? Do you really want to know me? I'm just a trophy, if you will, just something to possess, but not really a value in the sense of my character, my intellect.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think there's somebody in the chat that says, oh, that sounds exciting. Yes, trust me, I've read it. It is exciting. You definitely want to check it out. You know, and I'm curious, for the three of you, is writing your primary vocation, or do you do other things? Sarah, we'll let you talk about that first.
So I've always enjoyed writing in all kinds of forms. I've written short stories, I've written poetry, but it is not my main vocation, actually. It's more of, it's leaning more that way now, but I would say up to this point it's been more of just kind of a fun hobby. But, you know, after writing and publishing this and going through the process, you know, I realized how much time and effort and everything is needed to go into it and really be successful with it. And it's definitely turning out to be more of a full-time situation.
Exactly, yeah. And it's interesting. We're going to come back to that because people always think, you know, that like in the movies, you just roll out of bed one day and say, oh, I want to be a writer. And then it magically happens and it's the easiest career in the world. But I think you all probably have some stories to share. It's the opposite. Could be true.
Oh, yeah.
And what about you, Melanie or William? Is writing your primary vocation or do you do?
For me, it has not been. It has been something that I've done privately. But like I said, when 2020 hit, I think a lot of things changed for a lot of people. For me especially, it was an opportunity for me to dive into the things that I wanted to do, not necessarily had to do. And writing, like I had said earlier, I've been doing this since I was 10 years old. And then when I went on scholarship with KMP Entertainment and, you know, enrolled in their master writing course, I realized I had been putting something that has been on my journey, on my path, on hold just to pay the bills, you know. And now I wanted to, at that time, I wanted to really just harness that skill, develop that skill, and really move it forward to what I do as a professional career.
What about you, William?
I'm moving in that direction.
Yeah, well, that sounds cool.
I mean, I'm actually working my way towards that. I've always had aspirations to utilizing my writing as my vocation. And you know, I have the you know, the drive to do it. More times than not, I will admit my writing style is put the headphones on, brew some coffee, and then I'll be in my office for at least 18 to 20 hours punching out God knows how many pages, how many chapters, or you know, if I'm working on a script, how many scenes, you know, before stopping to refill and take a small breather and then start all over again. So. You know, but it has been a fun experience along the way, and rewarding on so many levels. You know,
I'm curious, I mean, for the three of you too, yeah, because William, you bring up about the experience. Has anything been kind of surprising, I guess, on this journey as a professional writer? Like, is there anything that you knew that has panned out differently? About the process,
well,
or any of it?
Well, I think probably one of the biggest ones, and whenever I do a presentation, I do talk about this. This was an experience that I had roughly about 15 years ago when I had first started sending out my initial query for Graham How to Clare. And what surprised me was that, you know, there's a lot of circumstances where people in the industry don't always follow through on their research. And, you know, this is probably the best example I could give you. I had an agency write back, wanted to take a meeting with me to discuss everything. You told me they read the book, and then they were like, well, we're thinking about maybe taking your character and just making him a little bit more proactive, kind of like Conan the Barbarian. And I was like, okay, so are you thinking like Arnold Schwarzenegger, Dino De Laurentiis, 1982 film, or are you looking at Robert Howard writing it from the 1930s? And I killed the meeting after the agent looked at me and said, oh, they made a book series back then?
Yeah, I agree. What about you ladies? Have you discovered anything on this journey that, you know, as a professional writer that you've discovered is a little bit different from maybe writing as a hobby? Sarah, you want to take that first?
Yeah, I would say I also took the KMP Master Writing course, and I'm so glad I did, because I think the biggest thing for me was just not knowing what I didn't know. You know, there's so mm-hmm. much information. There's so many associations and resources and websites, and I just had no idea this whole world existed, you know, beyond just, oh, I just want to publish mm-hmm. the story that I wrote. You know, it's really right. learning about the whole world of writing and how it interacts and intersects with other worlds too, like you were talking about in class about the screenwriting and the, you know, just mm-hmm. just being exposed to all these different levels that kind of go hand in hand with any sort of creative production. I think it's just kind of been a whirlwind and really opened my eyes to the creative process and the creative world in general, coming from, you know, a different vocational background. I've had a couple of different other careers, but nothing like this in the past. So I think it's just been learning a whole new genre, a whole new career. So it's been really eye-opening, I would say.
Okay. What about you?
Yeah, and I second that, yeah. I would definitely second mm-hmm. that with you, Sarah. I think in every career, a new world is born. And mm-hmm. whenever you step into any type of professional career, there are you know, laws to be learned. There's etiquette to be learned. There's groups and, you know, other organizations. And, you know, for myself, like Sarah, you know, I'm just writing. Oh, I'm just a writer. And then mm-hmm. you actually get involved in what that means. And it's a whole enterprise. It's just as if, it just think of it like Charlie and the Chocolate Factory. It's like you walk into mm-hmm. this and it's like completely different. It's like a whole, mm-hmm. it is a whole world. It's a whole new world of all these, you know, connections and businesses and laws. And so, yeah, mm-hmm. so it's not what you might think it is when you're just writing as a hobbyist. It's not that.
No, definitely not.
And I remember when I started out, so I started that, I just remember thinking, oh, this is like learning a whole different language, like, you know, starting with yeah. the ABCs all over again and just learning a whole new language.
Exactly.
And you know, yeah. characters and everything. So for sure. I just wanted to share that with our audience, because sometimes we make it seem easier than what it really is. But you know what I would
oh,
love
you just
to
write.
Do right now?
yeah.
Uh-huh, yeah, we just write. It just flows, it just comes. And no,
right, that's the easy part.
Do with Dr.
I mean, you know, that's who you, I would say, that's who you just do the old-fashioned, well, I'm not really an author, but I play one on TV, and you can yeah. too. I can show you how.
yeah. So you know what I'd love to do right now? I'd kind of like to go round robin and let each of you read us a little excerpt from your story so our listeners can kind of get a vibe from your book. Melanie, let's start with you, and then William, and then let's end it with Sarah. I'm going to end it on a fun note with Sarah.
Okay. Let's make sure I pick a clean.
Let's start with William. We'll start with William, and then we'll come
I have adult. So, yes.
Well.
And then we'll still wrap it up with Sarah.
I'm going to probably have to do the next best thing, because mine's sitting in my hard drive in a repair shop at the moment. So what I will do instead is actually.
Well, actually, that opens the door for another interview that we can bring you back on and you can share when you get your computer back. But Sarah, go ahead and let's share some of your story. And then I want to talk to you. I'll follow with my Matt the Cat series, which is also a children's book series. We'll talk about that for a little bit. So, Sarah, share a little bit about Nikki and Charlie.
Absolutely. So at this point in the book, the boys have jumped through this magic sprinkler, and it's transporting them to these different magical lands. So this is picking up as they land in one of the new places. Nikki and Charlie exhale a sigh of relief. In this new land, everything is made of food. They run as fast as they can from the soda stream to the licorice lamppost. Big boulders of rock candy glimmer in the sunlight, and salty French fries sprout up like grass. Hanging from chocolate Hanging from chocolate cake trees and rainbow ice cream cones are rainbow ice cream cones. Chewy candy drops rain from the clouds, and gooey jelly worms poke out from the cookie crumb flower beds. Just as the boys are about to dig in, and then that's where the page stops. Leave you a little cliffhanger.
I would be in heaven in a sugar coma in that place. Like, I have such a sweet tooth. Like, can you imagine? Like, me and
I know.
Like, oh, how fun. And the kids will surely love that. How fun. So if you have little ones, doesn't that sound like an exciting place? They'd like to use their imagination and transport to. I think so. Yeah, that sounds really fun. Somebody's in the chat now, and she says, I'm going to have to get that. Yeah, there's somebody in there. So we'll talk about how to get everybody's book in just a moment. You all. So I want to follow up by talking about Matt the Cat. Those of you that know me know periodically I do write about, I have three cats, but we can't call them cats out loud. They're little people. They'd be so offended if I were to ever call them. but one of my cats, he is a real-life sleuth, and he has such an old man personality. So I've turned that into a children's book series where Matt is a detective, and he graduated from detective school in Miami. But he doesn't just solve crime mysteries. He travels and he explores the whole world. So, you know, he solves mysteries around the world, but he also helps children navigate the mysteries of life. Things like what is credit, what are taxes, what is a solar system, why should I exercise, what is processed food. You know, why should I cover my cough? Why is eating healthy important? And just so many other stories. So book one is currently available. Books 2, 3, 4, and 5 will be out next month, July 15th. Those are going to all launch and be available for your reading pleasure. And I've beta tested them, and the kids just really seem to connect with Matt and love Matt. And I enjoy it because so much of his actual personality is infused into these books, so I think the little ones will really like that. And then I also have
definitely
the bird. Some of you have heard me talk about the bird for a while, but it is out and it is available for your summer reading pleasure. So in the bird, we have a combat veteran who has to destroy this web of corruption in order to find a kidnapped baby. Okay, and her name is Debbie. And she stumbles upon corruption in Oregon. And really, it just takes her on this wild ride that would intimidate most anyone. Like, there's murder and collusion and drugs and just all kinds of stuff. But she faces everything she finds head on with no plans to ever back down. So that kind of is a fun ride, takes us on this really incredible story. You know, in the Berg. So that is available. Well, actually, both of them are available at Barnes & Noble on the KMP website and Amazon. But let's just go round robin real quick. Sarah, where is your book available?
So you can order my book on Amazon as well. It's The Adventures of Nikki and Charlie Through the Sprinkler. Or you can buy it directly from my website, which is sarah-grace-books.com.
And Sarah, people can keep up with your projects by going to your website?
Yes, please. If you visit the website, that's where I'll be posting information about, you know, virtual launches and book signings and any other merchandise and the next books that would be coming out in the series. So definitely visit sarah-grace-books.com. That's where everything, that's kind of the main hub.
Perfect. And then William, where can listeners keep up with your project? William might be there. I'm not sure.
Oh, there. I think he's there.
Okay. Can you help me now?
Now I hear you. Where can listeners keep up with your project?
Okay. You can find me over on Facebook under The Legend of Graham Hadaclair. It is a public group. And not only do I have some fun little trivia, but also a little sneak peek is to show how the story has evolved over the years. And even a few learning resources for educators as well, too.
How fun. Okay. And Melanie, how can people find the patio and keep up with you and your project?
Well, they can find the patio on my website, journeyintoimagination.com. They can also find it on Facebook, in my Facebook author's page, Melanie Seiford. If they are interested in purchasing, there's a link on the site, and there's a link on my page that they are very free to click on. But yeah, I'm on social media, and I don't have any crazy handle. I think it's hard to find people, so I just use my name, Melanie Seiford. And yeah, so I'm there, and you can also probably check someplace on, you know, KMP. I try to put it out everywhere, mm-hmm. anywhere and everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Sounds good. Well, listen, you know, to our authors, thank you so much for joining us today. This always excites me to talk about your wonderful stories, and I look forward to having you back and talking about future stories. And to our audience,
thank you
so much for tuning in. And yes, absolutely. And our next segment will be an excerpt of an interview my son and I recorded for the Smithsonian Institute about my time in the military, specifically the Camp Wow. Operation Iraqi Freedom. It was pretty cool. They allowed him to interview me and ask some, you know, at times kind of tough questions. But it's a first-person perspective on history that I assure you, you won't want to miss. So join us for that next segment. And again, author, thank you for joining us. Everyone have a great day.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Bye-bye.